He obviously drew the long straw. They sent Chris Hansen to Rio, and he's left behind where it's safe. You can find his work in the Register Guard online at registerguard.com. You could follow him on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good, although I got to say, when it's 107 degrees on Friday, I might be wishing I was on the beaches of Rio.
Yeah, I saw that on the news, and I got angry with the weather woman who gave me the information. But, yeah, maybe you've got a point there. Last week, you mentioned a Sunday morning thud, the extra big ad in the Register Guard as a sales pitch for Duck football tickets. And you wrote about it. You actually got to speak with Craig Pittens and some of the folks at the U of O. And it's important, I think, that we realize people aren't jumping ship. I mean, they're still doing pretty well. There's probably a chunk of schools who wish they had their enthusiasm for tickets. But as far as what they said to you, what is their goal and what, I guess, is the purpose of this marketing rush?
Yeah, well, when we talked about this last week, I mentioned that I felt like they were doing some things this year that they haven't done in the past, which got me to thinking about it. So then I went and I talked to some folks in the marketing department, and they basically said that they've tried some new things this year to get out the word on Oregon football tickets. And in some ways, it's sort of a sign of the times. You know, every school, I think, right now is wrestling with how do we get fans in the stands when the kickoffs are getting later and the viewing experience at home is so high, there's never been a better time to sit on your couch on a Saturday afternoon and watch college football. So what do you do as a school to keep fans in the stands? And that's something Oregon is dealing with. You know, they've got this sellout streak of 110 consecutive games that they want to keep going. And it was interesting for me to read about what's going on at Nebraska, where the sellout streak is three times longer, like 347 consecutive games they've sold out at Memorial Stadium at Nebraska, but they have to do the same thing. They've had to do some new marketing to get fans to buy season tickets and keep that streak going. So Oregon is certainly not the only school that's dealing with this, but they are having to try some new things to get fans in the stands.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Personally, I've come to love the Thursday games and the 11 o'clock in the morning games because of what you said. I mean, when you actually work in this business like we do, and even though it's a joy, and I'm sure I could speak for you saying how lucky we are, you know, that 10-hour day on a Saturday when you don't have to do it and could actually sit there and you realize, well, I could watch parts of 20 games today. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm the world's biggest hypocrite when it comes to the late-night kickoff because as a sports writer, I despise them. There's nothing I like more as a sports writer than a nice 12:30 kickoff,
sure,
an afternoon kickoff where you've got your whole day in front of you. But as a fan, I actually really love the late-night games. I love to get finished with work and go home and actually be able to watch a game that starts at 7:30. So as much as we complain about the late kickoffs, there's a part of me as a fan that likes it, and that's why they exist, because fans do like them when you're watching on TV.
So in reading what your colleague Ryan Thorburn wrote, you retweeted it. The story of, I guess, the early week is the potential of Justin Herbert, the Sheldon kid, and apparently some of the guys are just raving about his ability. But logically, especially from what we heard at scrimmage today, it's probably going to be Prukop and then Johnson, then Wilson, and maybe a red shirt for Herbert.
Yeah, that's the most likely scenario. But I do think the fact that we're hearing so much about Justin Herbert right now, it tells you something about the quarterback race as a whole, because the fact that we're hearing about Justin Herbert means we're not hearing about Travis Johnson, To me, that reinforces the idea that Dakota Prukop is going to be the guy, and we're starting to see him emerge now. And talking to guys after the scrimmage today, it seems like the groundwork is being set for Dakota Prukop to be named the starter, and I think that's what most of us have expected all along, unless Travis Johnson just came out and had one of those amazing fall camps where everybody was just raving about him and how good he's been. Haven't heard that about him during fall camp so far. Now, not that he's been bad by any means. We haven't heard that, but just, you know, the fact that Justin Herbert is the quarterback that people have been raving about tells you that it's sort of been status quo for the other guys, which I think points to Dakota Prukop being named the starter probably sooner rather than later.
Were you at the post-practice press session today?
I was, yeah. I was kind of running around, but I caught sort of bits and pieces of it.
No, I was just curious. I mean, obviously, front and center, we're talking about the quarterbacks. I'm just curious if anything else that caught your ear was worth passing along after the first scrimmage.
Yeah, you know, it mainly was the quarterbacks that jumped out to me, and I was listening into Dakota Prukop when he came out. He just sounds like a guy who feels like he has command of things now. He used the term epiphany to describe things just coming together for him the last few days and some things that have clicked in terms of reading the defense and the coverages. So I just came away from today with a pretty strong feeling that we've begun to see the separation now in the quarterback race.
Good stuff. We continue with Austin Meek, the Register guard. Obviously, those of us here in America watching the Olympics on NBC have been treated to some incredible performances. And obviously, you got to spend so much time this summer covering the NCAAs, the trials. How bowled over, perhaps, do you have more of appreciation for what Usain Bolt did in making it three straight golds in the 100?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we may never see again in our lifetimes. Somebody to be that dominant in that event where the whole world has been chasing him now for three straight Olympics and nobody's been able to touch the guy. You know, it's just incredible. And just how easy he makes it look. I mean, that to me is the thing that is just so amazing. Everybody else is trying so hard, and Usain Bolt makes it look so effortless. I mean, there's a handful of athletes that have had that, you know, that grace to make it look so easy, and he's one of the best in that regard. I mean, just to be totally untouchable is one of the greatest feats in sports, and he's certainly done that.
Let's get to Devin Allen. I remember we've talked, I mean, you know, throughout he won the NCAA title in the 110 hurdles, and we were wondering, well, what about the level of competition for the trials? Then he won that, and we wondered about the level of competition in the Olympics, and now he's in the semifinals. But from what you've got to witness firsthand pre-NCAAs, see him make it this far, simply responding as the challenge gets more difficult. Are you amazed, or at this point are you like, why sell this kid short?
Yeah, I'm done picking against Devin Allen. I don't care who's in the field, you know, world record holders, gold medalists, whatever. I'm not going to pick against Devin Allen based on what I've seen because he just rises to the level of the competition. And he runs as fast as he needs to run to win. And, you know, Dakota Prukop, in fact, was talking about this today. You know, he was texting back and forth with Devin last night. And, you know, they were talking about when was the last time that Devin was in a race that he didn't win. It's been a long, long time, regardless of the competition. You know, you have to go back quite a ways to find a race that Devin Allen didn't win. So if he wins the gold medal tonight, I am not going to be shocked. You know, it would be an incredible accomplishment. I'm not sure a lot of people expect him to do it, but I would not be shocked. That guy just finds a way to do whatever he needs to do.
Yeah, I feel like he's the last guy you want to dare to do something. I want to ask a general question about the American men's basketball team. After they lost in 1988, there was so much frustration, we got the dream team. This might sound weird. Is something lacking, be it charisma, or maybe that we just saw the best NBA players for 7 months through June and it just ended 6 weeks ago? Is it me, or is it they're not just that captivating right now?
Well, I'm obviously right there with you because I have not watched Team USA for 1 second.
Okay.
In basketball. I like basketball. I'm a basketball fan, but something about the Olympic basketball doesn't do anything for me. I think you hit the nail on the head that, you know, America had that stretch with the Dream Team where we established ourselves as the dominant basketball nation in the world. And then we kind of lost interest. It's kind of America's MO, you know. We conquer something and then it's like, yeah, all right, what else can we move on to? So, you know, Team USA now, coming off the NBA season, we've already seen the best. You know, I feel like I've seen the best basketball the world has to offer by watching the NBA. And now the Olympics, it kind of plays second fiddle to the NBA season. And, you know, you can't tell me that. I'm sure that Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and DeMarcus Cousins, I'm sure they're patriotic guys, but if you ask them, what's more important to you, winning an NBA championship or winning a gold medal, they don't have to think for, you know, 2 seconds to answer that question. And that's reflected with Americans. You know, what do we care more about? We care about the NBA Finals. We don't care that much about Olympic basketball.
No, I think we form a united front there. Final question. You wrote about the delay, the TV coverage of NBC. And by the way, nice rip bringing up Joey. A lot of live coverage over their networks, yet the Peacock people kind of taking heat. Seems there's a line between paying billions, putting top events in prime time, and maybe satisfying the need for immediacy. Are you okay with this coverage, or do you have your critiques as well?
Well, I do have my critiques. I think you have to say up front that broadcasting the Olympics is not easy. There's so much going on. It's in a different time zone. Everybody has their thing that they care about that they want to watch and don't necessarily think about the dozen other things going on that maybe somebody else cares about. So it is hard to do and do well, but I do have a beef with the way NBC handles its prime time coverage. Here's my complaint. Saturday night, I get home, I'm ready to watch the Olympics, I turn on the TV at 7 o'clock, and what am I watching? 2 episodes of Big Bang Theory. And I don't know if NBC has some kind of contract where they're contractually obligated to show so many hours of Big Bang Theory per week, but I would think at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, when the good stuff has already happened, I should be able to watch that. Why do I have to wait until 8 o'clock to watch the stuff that the people on the East Coast have already seen? That doesn't make sense to me. So I know it's hard. I know you can't do everything live, but I think NBC could give more immediacy to their primetime broadcast as opposed to making it feel like sort of a highlight package of the stuff you've already seen or already heard about, combined with some of these soft focus feature type things, which, you know, some people like that, but for me it takes away some of the immediacy of the event and makes it feel more like, you know, TV as opposed to live sports.
Good take. I like that one. I don't know if I had I've heard anybody put it quite that way. Well done, as always. Catches work in the Register Guard. Apparently, he's the guy leaning in to listen to huddles after practice. Follow him on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Always a pleasure, Austin. Appreciate you getting us started on a Tuesday. Have a great week.
Okay, you too, Steve.
Take it easy.